Episode 383, September 24th, 2018.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Good evening, afternoon, good morning. Every family has to have a pet, right, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's not healthy to never to grow up without having a pet.
I agree with that. And I think, I mean, we both would say a dog and a cat are the ones you would have in terms of something that could show you some affection as opposed to
there's not
a
many
tortoise
other,
or a fish.
There's not many other pets, right? That
Right. Well, we've talked a lot about you trying to get a dog on the show. We've talked about Robbie's cat and dog on the show, but I think the official pet of the Rob and Joe show was your former landlord Phil's cat Toggy, who was on an episode, then on the Best Of when you hated Toggy. Is it Toggy or Taggy?
Yeah, Toggy.
Toggy.
T-A-G-I, Toggy.
And that we theorized if you could sell Toggy for $20,000, would you just try to convince Phil that the cat just escaped one day by accident?
I'm sure I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure I said yes, I would.
Yes, 100%. Well, we have lost Toggy. She has moved on to kitty heaven. Sorry, Phil. He wrote on Facebook. I know this is supposed to be, you know, sad, but Toggy and I went through a lot together during the past 18 years. We saw 9/11. They sat there and watched the towers fall.
You think Toggy knew what was going on?
That had to be rough for a young cat. The Terps basketball championship, and the Orioles go from bad to good to really bad again. We had 12 roommates and 6 different residences, and more recently, a loving family with 2 little kids that adored her.
You think the kids adored? Toggy was ferocious. Okay, I'm not kidding.
To you.
You know what I used to do? I used to put on an oven mitt so I could pet Toggy. I'm not kidding. Because it was so fast. And, of course, you know, Phil would never consider trimming or declawing this ferocious cat. So, you know, you had to do that if you want to give it any affection. Now, every once in a while, if you sat perfectly still in this one chair, you could get her to come up. But you had to be careful because if you pet for 1 second too long, it was going to get – and it would just – you mean, you know – you get cat scratch fever from this thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like he had to put her down, but he said we shared her favorite meal, Chick-fil-A nuggets. Also Phil's favorite meal.
Yeah, and my favorite meal,
yeah,
too. Yeah, Chick-fil-A
one
nuggets.
One last time, then I had to say goodbye. So I guess like someone on death row, Toggy got a last meal.
Is that?
Favorite last meal.
Well, as far as he knows, I mean, did he ever give her a fillet of fish?
Well, maybe the cat would still be alive then if it had known the taste of filet fish. So sorry, Phil.
Yeah, rip Toggy.
We're very sorry for your loss, but the show must go on.
Yeah, you want to still do the show?
No, we're out. It's done. We just play that episode of the Toggy episode on a loop the rest of the show, Robbie. In other losses, the Minnesota Vikings got destroyed by the Buffalo Bills. Who I had in my survivor pool, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who wouldn't have that? Buffalo looked like appeared to be not just the worst team in the league, but maybe the worst team of all time.
It's impossible to predict the NFL. It is so
crazy. It is. As a matter of fact, they had one player that on offense, one player that I thought was of quality, and that player was injured.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy.
Right.
And they had his backup in, I don't even know the name, but I know I immediately went to see if this guy was available in our league. I guess he's not. Oh no, that was a guy from Detroit. Maybe he is.
Right.
But whoever backs up LeSean McCoy for the Bills ran wild.
Against what was considered the best defense in the league, or one of.
Yes.
God, it's so crazy. But that prompted a Facebook video message sent to me by Chris Restivo, the world's number one Vikings fan.
Well, before we play it, because we have it, we want to give a warning that there are a couple of, insensitive remarks that towards homosexuals.
Yes. Well, the live show is going to hear the raw video. We'll clean it up for the main. For 99% of you are hearing it with the beeps properly put in. But do you have a little taste of that, Robbie?
Here's a message to you Bills fans. Go fuck yourselves. Go fuck your shitbag fucking city. Go fuck your mother, you fucking piece of shit, New York. You fucking cock-sucking motherfuckers. I hope you fucking burn to death, you piece of shit motherfucking cocksucker. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you again.
Okay.
We're going to kick the fucking shit out of you at the fucking end of the game if this fucking loser quarterback didn't fucking throw it. Ugh, I'm losing my shit.
So this is what I don't understand. Like, why aren't you mad at your team?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at the team that was trying to win.
Did their job.
The people that failed to beat a horrible team. That's the people where his anger needs to be. And he also was mad at the quarterback. Now, the quarterback did fumble four times. But he didn't just drop back and drop the ball. The line was just letting him get bum-rushed.
Well, the whole team was an F.
Yes.
But, like, did you want Buffalo just to let you win? I mean, no, they came in and tried to win.
Trying to win.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
That's the other thing. They were in Minnesota. So this is a team that a lot of people have as their Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
I believe they had the best record, or was it either them or the Eagles had the best record in the NFC last year.
Yeah, the Eagles won, the Vikings too. Yeah.
Yeah, and so obviously when you play a team that's considered the worst team in the league, that has to travel 1,000 miles to get to your stadium, you'd figure that you'd win that game. But no, they ended up losing by, I believe, 21 points. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that was a late touchdown to get it that close. So Kepner and I were in Syracuse. We went over to the World of Beers where they had every game on. And we sat at a table where we had to the left, facing slightly to the left, was the Chiefs game, his team, and slightly to the right, the Redskins game. And both of our teams won without too much sweating. Almost none for his side, but very little for the Redskins when you think about how close the NFL usually is. So that was a great day for us.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, our fantasy football teams are in. You're probably going to win, but I have a shot.
I got a bad feeling.
And if I can win this, then all my teams won, which is, I always love that, a clean sweep. That's when the Redskins, the Ravens, and my fantasy team wins. Now, that's hard to do. It's hard to be 3-0 in all three of those games. Most likely,
that's hard.
You're going to lose one.
And the Cowboys lost, if you want to even go. Is that something that gives you pride?
Yeah. No, I'll take that, too. But so here's my question. I think it was 2 years ago, Robbie predicted as his Super Bowl team from the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, who I believe had won like two games the year before and had the number one overall pick. Am I right about that?
No, they've been pretty good for about
how long
five,
ago was
years.
That when Robbie made that prediction? Remember when he predicted the Chiefs to win the...
Yeah.
They had the number one overall pick in the draft.
No, that's, you're not.
I'm not remembering it correctly?
No. I think they've had a winning record for like six straight years.
So I can promise you
that
when Robbie predicted them to be in the Super Bowl, they did not have a winning record the year before. The point that I'm trying to make, you can look that up while I'm talking about it. The point is that why would now Robbie pick the Chiefs when clearly... You know, they're on the upswing, and they are, I think, clearly right now the best team in the NFL. Maybe the Rams. Those are the two teams that you'd be discussing being the best team in the NFL.
Yes.
What's your thinking? What's your logic, Robbie?
I wasn't anti-Chiefs. I always like to look at the Chiefs as a possibility. It's just I thought the Minnesota Vikings, it was going to be their season.
So speaking of football, on the pregame show this week...
Well, they went 10-6, 12-4, 11-5, and 9-7.
So maybe it was the first year. Maybe it was the first year we did the Robin Joe show.
Yep.
So the point is, during the pregame, I called Emmanuel Sanders Ernie Sanders.
Okay.
Now, as soon as I said it, I knew the name was wrong.
Yes.
The second that I said it. But, you know, Tyler Columbus is ex-Redskin. He's now the... field guy. He's on the, what do you call it, sideline commentator for the Denver Broncos. So
okay.
We had talked to him in the Know Your Foe segment. Now, when I called him Ernie Sanders, he didn't say a word. Okay? Not one word. And clearly, when he was talking, he called him Emmanuel Sanders. So after it was all over, I made a joke. I go, sorry, I combined Bernie Sanders and Emmanuel Sanders to make Ernie Sanders. What I really meant was Bert Sanders. So I made a joke, clearly sure. Laughing at myself. But let me tell you something. If the tables were turned, there's no way I would have let him get away with that. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because before the segment, when I didn't know he could hear me, I shit on him.
You shit on Tyler Palumbo.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because of his Redskins play?
No. Here's what happened.
Okay, this is bad.
It's bad. Okay, so we were supposed to interview Ray Lewis, and of course Ray Lewis was extremely in demand. So Kirk kept running over there with the remote mic, trying to get his turn whenever he could talk to him or whatever. And they're like, oh, he's available. Okay, he's not available. And he kept running back and forth. It was stressful.
Sure.
Robbie, I'll tell you if you listen to the show, I did a couple breaks by myself while he was trying to go talk to Ray Lewis, right? Well, he walked back and they said, okay, we don't have Ray right now. And I go, well, it's okay that we don't have Ray. We have Tyler Palumbus or whatever his name is, Palumbo or whatever his name is, right? So as soon as I say that, the guy running the board goes, hey, he can hear you. So now, clearly, the joke really isn't it. Well, I guess it is at his expense, right? But
yeah.
Really what I'm saying is we didn't get Ray Lewis. We got some fucking journeyman offensive lineman that we're going to talk to instead. But if I would have heard somebody say that about me, 100% I would have said something when I got on the air.
Yeah. He's got to recognize that, you know, people are getting bald, or I want to hear from Ray Lewis before it's about anybody. But he didn't have to come on your show. Is he getting paid?
I mean, right. Well, who knows? Probably not. And by the way, as soon as he said, hey, he can hear you, I go, he probably knows that Ray Lewis is somebody we'd like to talk to before him. Like, I excused it immediately because I'm like, this guy's going to fucking hate me as soon as he gets on the air.
Did you apologize?
Didn't say a word because I couldn't hear him. And then when he came on, he was just kind of a cool guy, which makes me even more of a fucking dick, right? And then he didn't correct me when I called, by the way, anybody who does an NFL pregame show in the entire United States knows who fucking Emmanuel Sanders is. And I fucking called him Ernie Sanders.
He's been a good player for 10 years now.
Yeah. Arguably great in some of those years, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I, of course, called him Ernie Sanders, and he didn't correct me. So all I can do is apologize and just say, look, that's just what I do.
Have you gotten a name wrong on every show?
I mean,
every pregame this season?
Probably.
I know you called...
Kirk Keith.
Yeah, Kirk Keith.
Mm-hmm.
You called Emmanuel Ernie. Well, you're keeping on the same first letter, so...
Yeah, well... By the way, I know who Emmanuel Sanders is.
Of course. But he also played for the Steelers for a while, so he's played a lot against the Ravens.
I should definitely know who he is, right? The other thing that was bad was that while Kirk was going out trying to interview Ray Lewis, I had to stall, and I had to talk to the Maryland Lottery guy. Now, I love the Maryland Lottery guy. He's a cool guy. His name's Doug Lloyd, and I like him, but there's only so much you can talk about.
Yeah.
With the Maryland Lottery. You know, he talks about his scratch-offs. They talk about the winners. You know, I've already made all my jokes about the giant check. I've made every joke you could possibly make about the lottery.
It's not interesting.
I don't want to say that. But what I am saying is that I'm running out of material. And I'll bet you that the Maryland Lottery segment is the longest segment that there was on the show.
They're paying a lot of money for that.
Well, they are. And the guy's a cool guy. And he kind of makes it fun. But clearly, I'm there by myself, so it's difficult for me to get in and out. And also, the part that in the world that I'm the worst at in the world is getting in and out of breaks. Now, I'm getting much better at getting out of breaks. Robbie, would you agree with that?
Yes.
So I'm getting really—I wouldn't say I'm good, but I'm competent at getting out of a break. But getting into it, I'm not as good at that. So what happens is I talked to the Maryland Lottery guy for like 10 minutes about scratch-offs and whatever else you could talk about. Again, there's always...
You prefer to use a penny or a dime to scratch
I off. Swear to God I brought that up. I swear. That's funny you say that. Maybe not on this episode. Maybe not this time. But before, I always say, you know, what do you use? I think a dime is the best, yeah, which it is, right? So we're doing that. But then Stan White comes. Stan White, former linebacker for the Baltimore Colts, comes to also talk. And Kirk still isn't there. So now I have to close out the segment with the Maryland Lottery guy and start talking to Stan White. And, of course, I forget to say Maryland Lottery. So now
that's a bad one.
It's not good.
The sponsor's going to be happy because you did 10 minutes with it.
So now I go, all right, well, thank you so much, Doug. And then I go, we got Stan White here. I go, before I do that, that's Doug Lloyd from the Maryland Lottery. I said it during the Stan White segment, right?
Yeah.
And then I start talking, thank God Kirk finally comes back, and then he can do the broadcast part. Like, I'll do all the football part. Just do the part where, you know, I think that they're under the
assumption. Where you're overthinking that part, where you can just be more natural with the football part.
That's the thing. I mean, I got to get better at that. Because I don't realize that they're just going to be like, all right, well, now you're in charge. Well, I'm not okay, but.
Also, if you ever want to have this be the solo Joe Robinson host the pregame, you got to prove you can do this, Joe.
Well, first of all, I don't want to be that.
Right.
If I do it, I love doing it with Kirk, but if for whatever reason he didn't want to do it anymore, my dream scenario would be doing it with you. That was
yes,
who I'd like to do that
like
with,
that
right?
Too. Well, with your name mistakes, hopefully you don't say, you know, it's so-and-so from the Mississippi Lottery.
Yes, I get the state wrong.
I'm driving down here, and it's so sad that there's a Baltimore sports station, and then there's one of the D.C. sports stations. They have the contract with the Orioles, and it's like, they have to just keep playing the games. And it's like, I feel so bad for these broadcasters. Well, the pregame show. And what are they talking about? There's a postgame show? Just end it.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, WBAL, which is the station that I'm on, basically, 98 Rock WBAL or sister stations. And they had the Orioles from, I guess, their inception all the way up until like 6 or 7 years ago. They had them for 40 something years. More than that. I'm sorry. They had them for 50-something years. Then I felt bad for BAL because, you know, they had them in during those shit years, and then they got good and they didn't have them anymore. So it's almost like you paid your penance. You should at least get it, but they didn't get it. But now they're probably laughing because who the fuck is listening? Who's listening?
No one. Why? How could you? By the way, I remember listening in June in the post-game guys like, you know, if they could write off like a 24-6 stretch, I'm like, we're 50 games in, and he just had to make up things so they could have a chance. He acted like that was easy to do. Like no team will do that the entire season.
So the Orioles actually, I think, have won like back to back games now or something like that.
Orioles fever.
And I think they have 45 wins. What I think it's so funny is they had a shot at being. There was a shot. It wasn't a great shot, but they had a shot at being the worst team of all time. In the modern era.
Right.
They still have a very, very good shot. It's going to be difficult for them not to get that, to be one of three teams in the last 65 years to finish with a winning percentage below 300.
It's hard to do.
So that is extremely hard to do. But I'm not sure I know a bigger Oriole fan than me. Maybe Phil. We just talked about him.
And Toggy.
But I'm a huge, used to. But I'm a huge Oriole fan. I don't, you know, they won opening day. That's kind of hilarious. Right? They won the first game. So, yeah, but they have been really, really, really fucking horrible. And that makes my life worse when the Orioles are bad.
Well, the Nats have been bad. And I mean, they haven't been.
Not Oriole bad.
No. But I've heard this saying before in regards to baseball. Like, every team, you're going to win 50 games and lose 50 games. It's what you do in the other 62. Well, they're not going to win 50 games.
No, not even close. Yeah. They're going to miss it by 5 games.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got a Graham story. I promise we'll tell it this week. All kinds of good stuff. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... and hear all about how Rob looped to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
New Gramps promo.
So I'm gonna do.
Did he say a fiver? Is that what he said?
Well, yeah. Okay. Can I do a little behind the scenes on this, Robbie?
Yeah.
So Robbie just threw in names so he could beep them out. You know what I mean? He threw in, and Gramps like, I don't get this. Why? What do you mean, Tom Sawyer, Mary Poppins? What's yeah? So it's kind of hilarious. I said, are you gonna beep that out? And he's like, I don't understand. I was worried because Gramps actually came over today to record that. So I sent him an email saying, or a text saying, hey, I'm letting you know I'm not going to be home till 6. Because, you know, my father's supposed to be here at 6. He could easily show up at 5:30 and just be sitting outside my house.
So I just missed him.
Nah, he only hung around for like 15 minutes.
Could have been on the show.
Well, yeah, but he would have had to sit here for an hour.
That would have been great. So here's a Gramps story. A fresh one. Dated Saturday, September 22nd. We were in Ocean City. We went to Uber Bagel for lunch yesterday. We ordered, and Tish went, his wife, went to the outside tables to hold one for us. I waited for our food, and there was a couple standing next to me waiting for theirs. I walked over and said to the young woman, what does a woman as pretty as you do with a guy that ugly?
Yep, that's his catchphrase.
He doesn't know these people. He laughed, and she said, I think the same thing all the time. I said, if you want a good-looking guy like me, I know you can get one. She said, give me your phone number so I can call you. I said, that would be wonderful, but my wife is sitting out there, and if she saw you get my phone number, she would kill you. She's very jealous when beautiful women hit on me. She said, then that must happen all the time. Her boyfriend stopped laughing, so I walked away. I mean, they're uncomfortable this entire time, clearly.
Yeah.
They're just trying to make conversation.
So, Gramps thinks that this girl legitimately wanted his phone number. Because he told me the story in here. He told, that's not what happened. It's funny, when my dad left, I was watching out the window, and there's two people that were walking by him with their dogs. And I saw my father saying stuff to them, and they weren't turning around. I'm like, I know what he's saying. He's calling that guy ugly. He's saying the chick's hot or whatever. I know he's harassing my neighbors, but anyway, we watched it unfurl. And the thing is, like, God, I wish I had, why didn't I video that?
He throws the word, ugly is one of the ugliest words that's not a curse word in the English language.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's just the sound of it is rough. It's not a very soft, like usually that joke is, what's a good looking girl like you doing with a guy like that? It's not with a guy that ugly. It's like calling a woman fat. It's just, it seems like there's no way to make that, to soften that. It's his go-to.
It's a risk, you know? He prides himself on being able to pull it off. Oh, can I real quick, one more thing. Can I tell a joke? Tell me if you would have told this joke on a NFL broadcast.
Okay.
Okay, here's the joke. I said that the Browns won the first game since the Obama administration. And the Browns team colors are brown and orange, and that's coincidental because those are the colors of the presidents during their last two wins. Okay. So.
No, I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have done that?
No.
What, tell me what the problem is, saying someone's brown?
It's just, I'm trying to avoid anything about the presidents or describing a black person at all.
So, yeah, I know.
By skin color.
Right, good point. But anyway, before I was either going to, the first thing I did was I texted it to Kirk and I said, hey, you think there's a problem with this? And he said, no, it's fine.
No, there probably isn't, but it's just.
And if he said that there was, I was going to have him tell it.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
Because then you get away with it because, of course, he's.
But you told it?
I told it, yeah.
And the phones lit up, are people complaining?
No, nobody gave a shit, yeah.
That's fine. You ever witness a couple or just any group of people, and just from one little moment, you can immediately tell the dynamic of the relationship. You can just figure out exactly what's happening here. I'm in the hotel lobby. I'm waiting for Koechner. There's a woman about 30 feet away sitting on these couches. Her husband comes over. He has her purse, and he has apparently brought the wrong purse to her from the hotel.
Oh, God.
And she says, I said the one on the floor of the closet. Then she says it again louder. I hear it clearly. On the floor of the closet. He takes it back. She goes, do you need me to go get it?
Oh, she's being a...
And he walks away, and he just laughed because he had to do something. And it was a laugh like, it's either I laugh or I go off and I strangle you.
Can I tell you something? A girl that works for me told a story today that she was at Texas Roadhouse, and there was a couple at a table, and these two were arguing, and the guy picks up his frozen margarita and throws it in her face.
Jesus.
Now, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
That's hardcore.
That's huge. So the guy storms out. Now, who knows what could have been said?
Right.
You know, I'm not passing any judgment other than you really probably shouldn't do that no matter what.
No.
Unless he said, you know, I raped your kid. I mean, what? I don't know what would necessitate that. Either way, what do you think she did?
Smacked him.
He left. She just kept on eating. She stayed there and ate her steak. That's good steak at the Texas Roadhouse.
Then this guy brought back the right purse. By the way, the purses were nothing alike. Look, she could have just described it as the smaller purse or the blue one as opposed to the orange one, but whatever.
I wonder what was in it.
I don't know. Well, they were going to the, it was Syracuse football game, and our hotel was right on campus, so they were dressed in orange. They were clearly going to the game. So I guess she wanted this.
Who won? Did Syracuse win?
Yeah, they beat Connecticut in
Wow, big game.
Yeah, they're 4-0, though.
Gramp says the couple turned around and he was talking about their dog.
I watched the whole thing to transpire. I'm sure he was talking about their dog. I saw him clearly talking to them, and I saw them not turn around, and then eventually they did. So I'm not sure how many things he said to them before they did. I also don't know if he's like, hey, nice dogs. By the way, you're ugly to the guy. I mean, I don't know. Yes, he probably was talking about their dogs or said, hey, nice dogs. Hey, dude, you look a lot like these dogs. I don't know. You know, I don't know what his line was. But
so
anyway.
There's this guy that works at the Syracuse Funny Bone. He's a server. And he looks like he's got this curly mustache, the thing that curls, right?
Like Tommy has,
yeah,
handlebar, or Raleigh fingers.
Exactly. Yeah. So I figure any girl that is into him would also be into Tommy Simbazo.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to TGI Fridays, right next door. We're classy. He has a tank top on. His armpits are shaved. He has tattoos of Deadpool in his armpits.
His face?
Yes.
Huh, God.
The bartender says, oh, my God, your armpits are awesome.
No.
I say, you should see his asshole. She gives me a dirty look, no laugh.
Seriously?
I'm like, come on. Yes.
Well, you're taking after me.
All right. And then I whip my dick out.
See, by the way, I want to tell you something about those drops.
We're going to get in trouble.
No, I'm going to tell you something about those drops. Mike Anderson, who's the producer of the 98 Rock Morning Show, every single time he plays any voice that's on the air, he puts an effect on it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it. Yours are too close.
Aha, uh-huh, that's a good point.
They're too close.
I do what they do on the Howard Stern Show. They do not put any effect on it. They throw them in like I just did.
Yeah, but if they've never heard them before, they play the same ones all the time.
Well, now you drew attention to it.
Well, now they're going to know, but whatever. Well, anyway.
Robbie's going to copy what Howard Stern does. I mean, he's not going to...
But actually, he gets very upset. By the way...
It's actually crediting the great Fred Norris.
Robbie loves Howard Stern. He loves him. But if you act like somebody that he loves has any influence over any decisions or any opinions he has, he gets furious. It's very weird.
Hey now, Robbie.
It's very strange, but it's that. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up that Howard Stern said that A Star Is Born is going to suck. Now, actually, that would surprise me if Howard Stern said that because he's a big Lady Gaga fan.
He's also a big Bradley Cooper fan.
So yeah, he might not say that. But if he did say that, I wouldn't be surprised because of how aggressively, you know, Robbie and I are in some fucking Twitter feud about A Star Is Born.
I just want to take another look at you.
And what's funny is that when Robbie and I are in an argument, my dad, who loves me, always goes in and likes my tweets, which I appreciate. Thank you for doing that, Dad. He always goes in and he likes them. But sometimes, like, I'll be shitting on Robbie and he'll come in and like it. He has no idea what I'm saying, right? But he goes in and likes it. That always cracks me up.
We had this conversation when he was coming in and recording that promo. And he said, yeah, I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Don't stop, Dad,
well,
by the way.
I need to see another movie here soon because I'm going to be back on Doug Loves Movies, Doug Benson's movie podcast, October 14th at the DC Improv. And one of the questions he asked you is, what's the last movie you saw? And I was there. I did it with him in August.
You said
in Orlando.
Jaws.
No, I said Mission Impossible, but I haven't seen a movie since then. So I need to see something so I have a new movie.
Well, if I was going to recommend a movie to see that has been out kind of recently, go see Eighth Grade. Eighth Grade's the best movie of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, in my... I keep forgetting about A Quiet Place. Rob, you saw that too, right? Or you saw it too,
well,
didn't
I saw
you?
That, yeah. Yeah, but I could see a movie at home. I don't have to be in the movie theater. It could just be any movie.
But Eighth I Grade, guess, I would highly recommend seeing Eighth Grade. It's so
and
good.
Listen to next week's Rob and Joe show where Mara Reinstein is going to talk about the movies coming out in the fall.
I'll do that. I mean, I do want to see A Star is Born. I think Tawanda does too.
I just want to take another look at you.
I think everybody wants to see it except for Robbie,
exactly.
Who wants to shit on it.
Does Frank Push want to see it?
So, oh my God. So, first of all, did I show you the picture of what Frank Push wore to the Ravens game? Did you see that?
No, let me see.
Okay. I can't hear you.
Let me just
this is Katie's father, Frank.
Yes, let me just give it a quick pull up. This is what he wore. Now, Robbie, I'm going to go ahead and send this
what,
to
is
you.
Is he working? Is
yeah,
he
that's what I said.
Shoveling snow?
So, this, what color would you say? Wait, actually, you're colorblind. It's like an orangish red.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's like some sort of reflective. Clearly, it came from where he works at, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say where he works, but anyway, so.
It should never be worn in a non-work situation or some sort of getting dirty, you know, shoveling snow, digging ditches, something in the cold outside, right? Or
yeah,
hunting, maybe.
Well, what I said was that he could walk right onto the field and no one would say a word. If he walked onto the field, they'd be like, oh, clearly that guy works here. He's not.
Right.
But that's what he wore for foul weather. Robbie, I just sent it to you. So I'm sure you could find a way to throw it on our Patreon to have them take a look at it. But anyway, on Friday, went out to dinner with my son, Joey, Katie, Katie's parents, and Katie's brother and sister-in-law and nephew. That's who we
Was
all
Was there
went.
An occasion?
No, just Friday night, and they were meeting. We said, we'll meet you there, and we all went out.
Where'd you go?
Went to Annapolis Smokehouse.
Okay. Who pays in this situation?
It's weird you say that, because I always try to pay, but Katie's dad always pays and then shits on me for not paying.
Like
so
that.
That's, yeah, it's pretty funny. So, yeah, he pays, and then he's like, what, you can't pick up a bill? I'm like, no, I can't. I'm like your age.
Yeah.
I have my own money. I can do it. But he always pays.
I'm not like Katie's other boyfriends who were
yeah,
22
right.
years
probably,
old.
Yeah, he's probably used to you know, children who were trying to, whatever. But anyway, he goes, yeah, I heard you on 98 Rock. Now, let me tell you what we were talking about on 98 Rock. It was pre- and post-sex rituals. Hey, Katie, come in here.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Okay? Now, we're talking about it. It's fairly early, but... And by the way, I didn't say anything crazy. Here's what I said.
Katie, joining the show. We're talking about Joe's conversation on 98 Rock regarding pre- and post-sex
I just saw the picture.
Rituals.
Yeah, isn't that picture great?
The reflective striping is awesome.
Yeah. So here's what I said. I said pre-sex, I brush my teeth and use mouthwash, and we've talked about it on here,
yeah.
And I
yes.
clean myself up. So everything's on the table.
But
that's,
he also, yeah, he said, so everything's on the table. He makes sure he cleans himself so everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
He also said.
You're cleaning your feet?
He's
cleaning my junk, as you know.
Junk. So if.
It'll be more inviting for you.
Right.
Understood.
Sure. He also said that he usually will take a shower, and that's his way of telling me it's on.
Yes.
Now, I want to put my penis in a mouth. Okay. Again, he did it again.
Of
He's
course.
No effect. Okay, go ahead.
So I wanted to crawl in a hole and die because in front of everyone, including his son, my mother, my two-year-old nephew,
hey, her
my
grandfather,
brother,
DJ.
My grandfather, but he has dementia. He doesn't know the difference. But
and Toggy.
Yeah. He says, hey, I heard you on 90 Rock the other day. Talking about, you know, the pre and post stuff.
Hey, I turned the color of his reflective vest.
And Joe says, well, we're getting married. So.
Yeah, what are they supposed to say? I go, you know, I'm buying the cow. That's the whole deal, right?
Yeah. Do you not want to wash my mouth?
Rather it be disgusting and have all the day's film on it? Like, what do you want
now,
for her?
Are you brushing your teeth so you can make out more? Are you feeling like you just want to make...
I want to have fresh breath.
Right.
Not the day's worth of food breath on me. I want to have, and by the way, I wake up at like 6 a.m. So, you know, if we're,
sure.
if we're going to do this at 8, it's been 14 hours in my jeans or whatever.
But if you do something to her, might that cancel out immediately the,
that doesn't happen.
The fresh breath.
I would do that.
She says it doesn't happen.
You know, you're right. That doesn't happen very often. I'd be more than willing, though.
Is that because of who? Maybe somebody else needs to wash, get themselves prepared so everything's available.
No, I don't think that's the issue.
I think it's me.
All right, let's do it tonight.
All right.
Sorry, Dad.
By the way, that reflective, and if you're a Patreon, you'll get to see this outfit, and I promise you it's worth it.
Oh, it's the worst outfit.
I promise you it's, and remember, he is at a Ravens game with another 55,000 people.
Can I tell you, he was also bragging about how much it cost.
I was going to say that. So what do you think that outfit costs? I'm going to give everybody a guess.
God.
See who gets the closest. Marcus, you get a guess too. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
$250.
$250 is Robbie's guess. Marcus, why don't you go next?
Go a buck and a half, $150.
Okay.
Okay, Rob?
$300.
Wow, you guys have embarrassed yourself. Hey, you know, remember when Bob Barker used to go, you're all over, you're all way under.
Can I say that?
Under?
Oh, yeah, way under.
Can I say that 300 is the closest, and that's just for the cost of the pants?
Who's making this?
It was $1,000 for the jacket and the pants, and that's because it's, like, flame retardant and... Mm. And I mean, it's the most ridiculous outfit.
Don't you have an Under Armour thing you can sell them?
Yeah,
similar?
I know. Yeah, I mean, that's not the only thing that wicks water. He wanted to wear it.
He went to work so he could ask if he could get one for the game because he knew it would keep him the driest out of anyone there.
Mm. So, but you brush your teeth before you go to bed.
Right? That's funny you say that because. So let me say this. My whole life, I haven't.
I mean, I've gone stretches where I haven't, but
my whole life, once I'm in bed, it's over. I'm not acting like that's great, but I haven't. But every night, Katie's like, what the fuck?
I think it's actually one of the most disgusting things to not brush your teeth before you go to bed. You just talked about how you had food all over for the last 12 hours. I mean, it's one of the grossest things.
So I'm not even insinuating that it's not gross. I'm just trying to keep it real.
So you don't have we're both in bed to go to sleep for the night sex. The sex is before you've decided to go to bed, essentially.
Well, usually no. Usually
because then you'd be brushing your teeth if that was a normal thing.
So here's the thing. This is as honest as I can be. If I go in and brush my teeth, that's nothing. But if I go in and shower, it's almost like, hey, I'm expecting you to have sex with me. So I'm always kind of want to know where we are before I act like I want sex, because then she feels obligated, right? Because she knows I want it.
But there's no conversation. You're just, it's all symbolic.
There's always a conversation.
Yeah. I'm always like, hey, you want
almost always.
Yeah. You in the mood tonight?
I wish.
Or is it more?
It's more like, oh my God, that would be like seduction.
So Joe's it's like Gramps. We just call someone ugly. He gets right to the point.
Yeah, usually I just start pawing, right? I mean, is that what you'd say?
He'll just 4 hours earlier be like, hey, you want to have sex tonight?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that.
And then I'll say, yeah, and he'll say, what kind?
Can I?
And I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
So what did Frank say? Was he?
He was literally letting me know, hey, I heard what you do
you're talking about
before you have sex with my daughter. That's what he was doing.
Did you get a vibe that it was not cool? Have some boundaries?
I got a vibe it wasn't cool.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I got an in-between.
I got a vibe it was like, hey, everyone listens to this.
Oh, I didn't think it didn't seem that serious to me.
Oh, okay.
No, you know better than I do.
The thing with the morning show, I know Justin is not going to give a straight answer. He's going to be funny and try to... He doesn't really give straight answers in those situations.
I don't know. I think he tells the truth. Yeah, I think Scott does too.
Yeah. Now, what's the post-sex ritual?
Towel, I guess.
Oh,
you brought it up. I don't know. You didn't talk. You said what was the pre and post? That was the conversation.
I guess it depends on.
I keep forgetting. These are things that are coming back to me that you said that my dad heard.
Yeah, this is what happens. I guess it all depends on.
So now he's going to hear it twice in one
week. He's like, sometimes I use a shirt.
Yeah, sometimes I go get a t-shirt, and she goes, get a towel.
Yes.
She doesn't like when I get a t-shirt. So that happens. By the way, Katie just did an impersonation of me, and we'll get back to this. I just have a question. I guess we're going to talk about this in a minute, but I don't want to forget this. When you were on the Mike O'Mara show, and when Justin was on the Mike O'Mara show.
Which we will talk about here in a second.
Okay. Mike O'Mara does an impersonation of me.
Yes.
Now, I've heard, like on the Howard Stern show, when that guy, Sour Shoes, does an impersonation of Gary, which is a dead on, he thinks it doesn't sound like him. I hear that impersonation, and I think it doesn't sound anything like me. It's a gravelly voice. It's soft-spoken. And by the way, I would be flattered if it was, but it just... So I want to plant that seed because I want to know if that's what if you now don't give me an honest answer. Don't give me an answer that you think is politically correct. I want to know if that sounds anything like me.
No, but and Mike is a world class impressionist.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think it's going for the spirit of you, not necessarily.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah, it's not a dead on. I think he's trying to get your vibe. What do you think, Robbie? This is something you're smart about.
It's not an impersonation. It's an impression. Doesn't sound like Joe at all.
You know what that means.
You do know.
I knew Robbie would have a. Is it a caricature of Joe? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
By the way, Chris Restivo does an impersonation of me, which is not bad.
Well, he's great. He's one of the best.
That's true. Anyway, so back to
Pesci, De Niro, and Joe Robbins.
Yeah. Back to the end. So, yeah, no, I usually it just involves, you know, clean up, right?
Are we are we down to half of your normal, your peak, your sexual peak? Are you at half of that in terms of activity? Or are you still in the same ballpark?
No, we have sex about 2 times a week, don't you think, Katie?
Hello?
Did you have sex after you had dinner with the family? Did you go straight home and wash your junk and?
We had sex twice this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Big weekend.
Yeah. Twice.
Me and Keckner had sex twice this weekend as well. So.
We would probably have more sex. We're really busy.
We are. I wake up at 6.
It's so lame to say that, but...
She wakes up almost right after me.
By the time there's nothing going on after work, we're just exhausted.
That's true.
I think twice and a week is above average amounts.
So. And we have the kids here more often than ever, so... Oh, yeah. You know, that's...
Wait till those dogs get here.
Dog. We put in for another dog.
I don't want to talk about dogs.
Pickpocket.
Pickpocket.
This dog's name is Pickpocket.
I like it.
And it is a mix between a... What is it?
A Great Pyrenees and a Golden Retriever.
Yes. So we're hoping we got a shot at Pickpocket. That's our next... That's the next rejection we're preparing for.
I'm pulling for you. Rob and Joe Show, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Las Vegas has it all. Lights, gambling, big time action, and on November 3rd, murder. More Broadcasting and Die Laughing Productions presents Back to the 80s, an interactive live comedy whodunit that goes back in time. Saturday, November 3rd at the Council Chambers Theater in the Zappos Corporate Center. Starring 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Eric Woodworth, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, special guest star Mike O'Mara, and you. Tickets are just $35 and are on sale now at MikeO'MaraShow.com and at Die Laughing Productions. That's Back to the 80s. Saturday, November 3rd at 8 o'clock in the Zappos Corporate Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Murder has never been this funny.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So we mentioned it briefly, but you got to check out Friday's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show with our very own Justin Schlegel sitting in with the fellas right in studio in Podcast Village. And I've listened to it almost twice now because it was just, I mean, it was such a great conversation. He was on from the jump. And if you're curious of what he's like, what he brings to the table for the murder mystery, you got a good taste of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I kissed his ass real good a couple weeks back. So I will just say this, what he did on that show, it's just a little window into exactly what he does at our murder mystery. You know, I complimented him. And J.L. Covan, by the way, on Twitter took a shot at me for saying that I thought that Justin in that one show was as funny as anybody I've ever seen. He took a shot at me, but I'll stand by that. He's hilarious. Go check out the Mike O'Mara show from last Friday. Tell me what you think. Marcus came on here gushing. Marcus, that's your cue to... Marcus.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was pretty descriptive all on its own. No, it was a great show. It was one of my favorite ever. I mean, Justin did bring it, as you know, Rob said, right from the onset, and I was laughing throughout the episode. The way he describes things, you know, not the fact that it's just descriptive, but he also elongates it in such a way that the funny just drags out. It's really this guy's really quite talented. Really made me want to listen to the morning show.
Well, it should make you want to go to the murder mystery. Sorry, Katie.
Justin should be world famous. I'm not just saying that. Like, the fact that we hang out with him and he's not making millions of dollars doing what... I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable.
I hear that, but I think Justin deserves to be happy. And I'm not sure that the life of a celebrity who's even at your peak, you're getting shit on a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to have failures. I mean, look at Will Ferrell. How many movies have you had that have just bombed? A lot.
You don't think Will Ferrell's happy?
I'm saying, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm saying that when Justin has a set that's a B+, he's upset.
Yeah. Hey, Justin's just, he's super happy right now.
Yeah, he's really killing
it in life right now.
I think he's happy in his career. Choices,
yeah.
Career wise, I think he's very happy.
He is, yes. He loves doing the morning show. He loves doing the murder mystery, and you're absolutely right about that. But if you listen to this past Friday's Mike O'Mara show, we're not telling you anything about his life that he doesn't tell you on that very show.
He could have those same issues if he was, had a sitcom.
Yeah, I'm sure the sitcom could be about that.
Exactly. But anyway, definitely check it out. And of course, November 3rd, in Vegas with the whole gang, back to the 80s. And if just spread the word, I know you guys got you have to have some Vegas friends. We want to sell this place out. We're trending, we're getting there. We want to pack it. It's 430 seats. And it's going to be an incredible weekend.
I want to, go buy tickets. I wanted to, by the way, should we give out some sort of link or something like that?
You just go to dialectproductions.com or MikeOmaraShow.com.
There you go.
Hey, what's this? Katie came in all excited about some new thing for your home.
No, I'm not excited.
Oh.
So we had mold. Did we tell you this?
I heard, I think you told Tawanda and she told me or something.
So brand new house. We haven't even been here a year. And the microwave, I guess it wasn't installed properly. And there was this buildup of condensation and we got mold everywhere.
That sounds bad.
Yeah. So they came in, they ripped out all of our cabinets. They ripped out the microwave that's hanging on the wall. So we have exposed, drywall is ripped out. And
exposed insulation.
Ventilation,
yeah.
Insulation, all this crazy stuff. We had fans running, dehumidifiers.
Can I brag about you real quick or no?
No, I'm almost done telling you. Okay. So.
No, she says.
So I email in and I'm like, let's go. You guys got to come in here. You got to fix this. They rip out our cabinets. So now we have no cabinets. They ripped them out on September 6th. And then what is today? The recording date is
24th.
The 24th. So we're coming up on 3 weeks, almost a month of no kitchen, basically.
The cabinets haven't even been delivered yet.
There's just shit that we're in the cabinets on the countertop. So
we don't have a microwave. Do you want to heat something up?
That sounds that's a real inconvenience.
It's super inconvenient. And not that I'm cooking every day, but I can't cook in my kitchen. I can't have people over to entertain because I have just everything is ripped out. So I emailed the superintendent, who sucks, by the way. And I said, what's the deal? Where are the cabinets? This was 10 days ago. He's like, it takes 5 to 10 days for them to come in. I would appreciate it if you called me when they get here so we can schedule the installation. No problem. 7 days later, no response from him. Nothing came in. So I said, Bill, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Just him and me emailed him. What's the deal? No response. So today I had a nice, well-crafted email.
Oh, Robbie's going to be impressed.
And I blew his ass up.
Oh, this is a Tawanda special too.
Now, a little bit of a liar.
Yeah. She's like, can I jump in?
Yes.
So I was so proud of her. Here's why. We have a backsplash that we're trying to get hung. I don't know what the term is. Installed or whatever.
Right.
And we just haven't done it. We've been here almost a year and we haven't done it. So Katie says, I'd appreciate it because of this delay if you would go ahead and install our backsplash. We had it scheduled and we couldn't do it because this was
nice.
This is what I said exactly.
Should you be saying this?
You think he's listening?
I Who said,
shout out.
Yeah, shout out. Jeez. Thanks a lot, Robbie.
Yeah, that's going to help. You better beep that out.
Go tag it.
Oh, God. Oh, great. Cupcake now. Here he goes.
Yeah. So. We were planning to install backsplash in the kitchen this month and have had to reschedule. I think that at the time the cabins are being reinstalled, we would also like our backsplash to be put in, so we do not need to guess when we would have to have this rescheduled with an outside source. Tell me if you think this is a fair trade for the inconvenience and time and money spent.
So here we go.
I think
free installation that Katie is responsible for.
Because they're screwing you over.
So maybe
so. You should be getting something.
Easily.
Yeah, but we didn't really have it scheduled.
And I also just said at the end, I was like, I'm not looking for sympathy or an apology, as that does not seem to be like something I have experienced through any of this, but I am looking for some type of customer service.
Man, Robbie, what do you think of that?
Love it.
I know.
Robbie would still go on and shit on him on a Yelp review, even if he got a free backsplash installation.
No, that's beautifully done.
He said he's running it by management and will get back to me.
Hey, let me tell you this, too. Okay?
Don't take no for an answer, by the way.
We're getting ready to pull out of our driveway, and I've talked about the neighbor who wanted me to move the bush. I told you that story already on here.
Yeah.
She attacks us. Hey, we're literally leaving.
Oh, yeah.
I go, yeah. She goes, hey, listen, I know you're on 90 Rock. I don't listen to that shit. I don't listen to that crap.
That's what she said?
Yes.
Verbatim.
Swear to God, I don't listen to that crap.
I don't listen to all that shit.
I don't listen
that
to that
sucks.
Crap.
It's
yeah,
crap.
It's horrible. I don't listen to that. But my sister does, and she's doing this blah, blah, blah charity for blah, 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 and I was wondering if you would do the show. It doesn't pay. I said,
wow.
No, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
I mean, can you believe that? Hey, what you do for a living, it's shit, but will you go do this for free?
It's almost like she didn't want you to say yes, so she just set it up like that.
I think that she didn't want me to be under the impression that she was a fan of some kind, because that would make
her... Or that you were doing her a favor?
No, I really think she hates it.
Well, she might. She might very well hate it. I have no idea.
I don't think this is like my dad shitting on you. I think she literally is like, I think 90 Rock is crap.
What's her name, by the way?
I'm not saying.
Yeah, come on. So anyway, but the point is, she gave me her sister's number by giving me an ad that, like, you know, she's like a realtor, and it's a picture of her jumping up in the air with a sold sign. I told you. So, Robbie, I'm going to send you that as well. That's got to be only on Patreon as well. But I'm like, first of all, I'm never fucking calling her.
No.
Clearly, not now. But also, I wonder if her sister has any idea that that's the way that she tried to sell this thing to me.
I mean, there's no way. Nobody says yes after that.
No, fuck no. Of course not. I mean, who the hell would do that?
How much would you do it for at this point?
$3,000.
Do you know what you have to
do? Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, she says it needs to be clean.
So you have to do stand-up.
It's for high school kids.
Oh, my God.
Hey, as soon as you need to be clean, I literally said, well, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I couldn't do 10 minutes clean.
Well, you just talk to the crowd.
Yeah, I could do that, I guess. But even then, I'd probably get a little... Yeah.
Hey, you two, how long have you guys been...
Like, how long have we been together? Well, we met in the 11th grade, and now we're seniors.
Fucking her, yeah.
You guys ever heard of a slumber sack?
So, check out my Twitter and see the picture, if you can, of me with Dennis Pitta, former Raven great tight end. I literally look like I want to fuck this guy. Did you see the picture on Twitter?
Yeah.
I always look like I want to fuck that guy.
Because I think you want to fuck that guy.
You think that's why I look like I'm high, or I'm just have dreamy eyes for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
I think it's natural.
By the way, it's pouring down rain. Look what he was wearing.
God, I know.
He wasn't wearing what Frank was wearing.
No, he's wearing the opposite of what Frank was wearing.
He's like, fuck this rain.
Yeah,
where is it on your Twitter?
Right,
no, you have to go on to you have to go on to.
Why isn't it on your Twitter?
It was a comment that I put in the
98 Rock post.
The 98 Rock tweet.
Can't you copy it and post it?
I guess I could, but you know, I mean, nah. What's the point now?
Come on, man, get your Twitter going.
Well, I mean,
I told him he should really update his picture to be something more, I'm a sports guy, kind of, not a 15-year-old picture of him doing stand-up.
Yeah, I said,
he doesn't even do stand-up anymore.
First of all, it's not 15 years old. Second of all, I did stand-up 2 weeks ago. But I do probably,
coming from the guy who always claims he doesn't do stand-up anymore.
I probably do need to update my picture, but it is funny. We mentioned on here that the fantasy football guy, Paul Charchian, and I love him, by the way. He said, I didn't know who, if it was the right Twitter, because there's nothing sports related.
let me ask the people listening. Don't no one here answer. So, you know, Twitter, you have a bio. Joe has, obviously, he's got the Rob and Joe Show. He's got Die Laughing Productions. He's got 98 Rock, just fill-in stuff. And he has the pregame show, NFL, the Ravens. How many of those things do you think he has mentioned in his Twitter bio? Anybody just care to guess? Well, if you guess zero, you are correct.
What's in my bio?
I have a day job. I won't quit it.
Oh, my God.
So the only thing you mentioned is your day job, which you just allude to. So how about we start with that? Also, your banner could easily be the you and Kirk. Don't you have a stock photo of you with the Ravens hat or something on?
Yeah, I do.
Says Ravens game day or something.
I'm just leaving it as it is.
I mean, you got to play the part here, dude.
That's what I said.
All right. Who's in charge here? I don't even know if I have my Twitter.
If you can log in, you can change all this.
All right, Katie.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah. Robbie has my Twitter password. I'll give it to...
No, if you log... You don't tweet?
No, I do tweet.
Then you have the password.
But then I got to do all the... I got to get all the shit.
Yeah, you don't have these pictures.
No, I don't know how to do all that.
Okay.
I mean, I probably do, but...
Have you seen your Wikipedia recently, Joe?
No. Why? What happened?
There's a little Ravens Game Day logo out
there. Oh, that's cool.
There,
thanks.
You can get it off of that.
I'm going to take a look at it right now while we're talking.
Go for that.
You know who doesn't have a Wikipedia, Rob?
Me.
Someone who should clearly have one.
Oh,
if Joe has
sorry.
One, then Kirk McEwen.
Yeah, that is strange.
Joe 30 years Robinson in this Wikipedia. Here we go.
Well, it's not going to be the comedian Joe Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Joe Robinson, actor. Joe Robinson, musician. Joe Robinson, radio personality. There I am. God, even these pictures are even older. Hey, at least here's one. Oh, there is a new one. There's a picture from me in around 2007. There's a picture of me in 1989. And then there's a picture of me in 2018. There it is.
Update on Joe and I's fantasy game. You need Peyton Barber to have a big game. He's got one carry for 2 yards.
Ooh.
You're well on your way.
Is that the first carry, the first possession of the game?
Yes. So
okay,
I think you're fine. It's 4 minutes into the game.
Off to a good start.
Yep. You're slowly but surely. You're going to beat me in the fourth quarter. I'm going to be very angry. Hey, that's the show. I'll be in Liberty Township, Ohio. It's outside of Cincinnati this Thursday to Sunday, the 27th, with just myself headlining. I mean, there'll be others, but I'll be headlining. And then the 28th through the Friday through the Sunday with Mr. David Koechner. So if you're in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, check it out. October, we get into Murder Mystery Month, Halloween, whodunits, Brightbox, October 13th, 2 shows, DC Improv on actually Halloween night and the 28th, right before that at McGoobie's Joke House.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I love the Halloween one.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be, of course, on the Ravens pregame. If the Ravens are playing, all you got to do is turn your radio on 3 hours before it starts. And you can hear me mispronounce the names of NFL football players. And then on November, what is it, 3rd or 4th? When's our murder mystery in Las Vegas?
Well, that would be November 3rd.
November 3rd, which is a Saturday, the day after the Mike O'Mara, what do they call it, Vegas-style show?
Just their live show, yeah.
That's it. We'll be there, too. What's your problem?
Yeah, it's a big week for us. That Sunday, we have McGoobie's murder mystery. Wednesday, Halloween at the Improv, and then we head to Vegas.
Some people are going to come to all of them.
Those people are amazing. We'll see you next week. It's Joe and Katie. I'll be driving home. Won't be back in time.
Yeah, let's do a little tease. We have Mara Rheinstein, movie critic. Hey, she is a top critic on Rotten Tomatoes. And what do you think she thinks of A Star is Born? I think I already said it on
here. Yeah, you said 3 out of 4. So
yeah, 3 out of 4.
Way to repeat information.
Well, we're going to talk about it again next week.
Hey, Joe, thank you for not checking work emails on this week's episode.
I did do it. I did send a text to a friend who replied, and I did that during the show. But that's it.
All right, and rest in peace, Toggy. Good night.